John's Gospel, chapter 21. I actually only have a few minute part that I need you to know that will change your life. But in this particular case, I will have to say quite a few things that you've probably heard me say 100 times to get you psychologically and spiritually and emotionally in every kind of way to where I can say that and it will mean something to you. Okay? I want to preach today on and the seasons change. Have you noticed that the trees are starting to change a little bit? Have you also noticed that it hadn't been 32 degrees? So I wonder why they change. Because God's got the seasons fixed. And what does the sap start doing this time of year? Every year. It don't matter if it's 105 degrees. The seasons are going to change just by definition. And he said in Genesis, the early chapters of Genesis, there will always be seed time and harvest as long as the earth is. There'll be no time when it's not. And so God's got our seasons, even when, because see, we think, you know, it's got to get cold for the leaves to change. Actually, it doesn't, because God has the seasons set. He has your seasons set. And even though it's not cold in your life, your leaves may start withering because you're fixing to change seasons. And our problem with our natural thinking is we don't get prepared for that change of seasons because we're waiting for this other thing to happen that we think's got to happen for the leaves to turn brown. Did that make any sense? Because I've heard all my life, the old folks, when it came a frost, you know, early spring and trees had done bloomed and the figs had flowers on them or whatever. Won't have nothing this year. Had the same amount this year as we had last year. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I realize cold can kill things, but generally speaking, the seasons in your life are going to change. You need to notice them spiritually so they won't beat your brains out. Kids are going to go to college. You think it's going to be one way, but then you feel a whole different way. You're not prepared for that way. Am I? All right. And the seasons change. Y'all ready? Verse 1. After these things, let's just hold right there for a second. What things? 3.5 years earlier, real quickly, I'm going to go through this real fast. 3.5 years early, Peter's washing his boat, cleaning up because he's been fishing all night. Jesus comes walking by and says, "Hey, Peter, guys, follow me. I'll make you fishermen of men." They said, "Hey, that sounds like a good idea." So they took off with Jesus for 3.5 years. During that 3.5 years, they walked away from everything to a limit, to a level. But you're going to find out that Peter still had his boat. Park that in your brain, all right? They saw food multiply. They saw 5 breads, 2 fish multiplied into fed 20,000 people, 5,000 men. But if you add children and women, you're probably going to get about 20,000 people. And they had 5 and 2 pieces, 7 isolated pieces, 5 bread, 2 fish. And after it was over, John chapter 6, they picked up all the fragments that nothing is lost and everything remains. And it was 12 baskets full. So right now your life may... This is not in my notes. Your life may look real fragmented and real scattered. And all you can see is this one thing and this one thing, but the day is fixing to happen. So you get ready for it. Dad, when God gets them all back together in baskets, and you're going to say, "Dear God, I started out with just one little handful. Now I got to get help to tote." Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Just because it's... I mean, you know, just because life is blown to hell and gone right now with all this crazy mess going on, God is not shocked. He is not surprised. He is not changed. Just because the world's lost their mind a little bit more than they had last year, God is still in charge.
Amen.
And He knows everywhere your fragments are. Even the ones you can't find. It's going to just pop up in that bag and say, "Well, Lord God, praise the Lord, I thought that was lost." Well, it was to you, but it ain't to Him. Because He said, if you read John chapter 6, He said that nothing will be lost and everything will remain.
Amen.
That was the lesson of the day, actually, more so than feeding the 5,000.
Right.
because that's a continued, you eat, they're going to be hungry the next day. Some of them are going to be hungry another hour. You ever fed a teenager boy? Okay. So that lesson wasn't going to last that long. But them fragments kept up, and when they toted all that stuff home to mama, when her son come back up with all this tribe of people toting 12 baskets, and I had no plans of preaching on John chapter 6 today, but anyway, nevertheless, when he come walking up with all of that, she said, "Where in the world?" He says, "Mama, it's going to take a long time to tell you. Just open the door. Let's get them inside right here." Are y'all with me? So wouldn't that stuff kind of get stale? God's stuff don't get stale. You need to watch that Western. So on them Westerns, they got a wooden barrel, you know what I'm talking about, with a ring around it, full of soda crackers. Right. Reckon they were stale? They would to be me and you. But somebody ain't never had a soda cracker before. It just depends on how hungry you get. Right. Yeah, everything depends on... I hope I get to that one little statement today, all right? So Peter's following Jesus. Some places is like that. Some places they go, Martha, they throw rocks at him. That's why Thomas didn't want to go to raise Lazarus from the dead, because he said, "Jesus, last time we went over there, they tried to kill us." And he said, "We're going to go." And Thomas said, the great man of faith said, that's in John chapter 11. At least I'm in the book of John still. John chapter 11, Thomas said, "Well, I guess I'll just go and get killed with y'all." I mean, he had a positive outlook on life, baby. Even Willie Nelson's quote is, "If you'll quit thinking and talking negative and start thinking positive and talking positive, something will change in your life," all right? Amen. So it's a shocking day when Willie knows more than the disciples. Can I get a witness? Amen. So you get to a place in your life where you don't care who says something to you that builds you up. You don't care what his name is. Elijah the prophet, God said, "Go down to the brook, I'll feed you there." And the buzzards started bringing him food. Literally, if you read and study what those birds were, they were buzzards. I'm sure the first day that buzzard landed, you ever seen a buzzard up close? My uncle knew a woman that looked like a buzzard, but I'm not going to tell that story today. No time to tell that today. I don't know, you know, I probably would have, but most folks probably wouldn't eat that rib about that buzzard dropped in the grit, and you go rinse it off in the brook. About that third day, though, you'd say, "Where's that good-looking buzzard at?" Can I get an amen? See, everything's about perspective. So then all of a sudden one day, one night, Jesus sets them down. John chapter 13, washes their feet. Peter argues about that. Jesus says this. Peter said, "I'm going to die for you." Peter argues about that. Okay? But argumentative people are hard-headed. And if you ever get that energy going in the right direction, they won't stop. You understand what I'm saying? And so they came to get Jesus in the garden. Judas kissed him. Peter pulled his sword, which he had been carrying the last 3.5 years. He had his sword. He still had his sword. Now, he left his boat parked in dry dock, but he had his sword. He cut the preacher's ear off. Now, that preacher was Malchus the high priest. He had led 600 Roman killers. If you do the research on it, it was either 300 up to 600 of Roman killers, and Peter, by himself, cut his ear off. Jesus said, no, we're on a new plan, Peter. Put your sword up. Picked his ear up, stuck it back on. And so at that moment in time, Miss Debbie, there was something about Jesus all of a sudden Peter didn't know and understand. So he wasn't totally lying when they asked him 3 times, "Do you know Jesus?" He says, "No, I don't know him." He was backed away, because God ever done something in your life that you was trying to figure out, is God doing this? Is the devil doing this? Am I doing this? Yes. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? So then they nail Jesus to a cross. Peter runs for the first time in his life. If you don't fear anything but that one time you run, it will haunt you to the day you die. Are y'all with me? So Peter runs, he hides. They nail Jesus to a cross. There's an earthquake, by the way. They put Jesus in a grave. 3 days later, there's another earthquake. The day he died, it got dark. When he come out of the graveyard, come out of the tomb, there was another earthquake. So you got all, just kind of try to get there with me if you would, please. All this crazy stuff. What happened in those 3 days, the last 7 days of Jesus' life, we'll call it, when he come riding in on Palm Sunday, we call it. 2020 is just a little grain of sand compared to the insanity of the stuff that, humanly speaking, was going on in Jerusalem, Israel at that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, they was in a mess. So they go to the graveyard, go to the tomb, and Jesus is not there. Peter's the oldest. So there's a lot of pressure on him. Debbie's got to do something. It's all finna crumble. He says, well, let's read. After these things, Jesus, now, here's where we are. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise, he showed himself. In other words, I'm finna show you, John the Beloved, the youngest of the disciples, wrote this book. Verse 2. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. So if you do the count, there's several of them there. All right, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, okay, boys, here's what we're going to do. I'm going fishing. Been fishing all his life. He knew his boat. He knew the Sea of Galilee. He said, at least I can go back and fish because I know how to do that. And I know I've told you that many, many times, but just stay with me. They say unto him, well, Peter, if you're going, we're going. We got nowhere else to go. So there's a lot of pressure on, what's that thing on Facebook? Please check on your strong friend that nobody ever checks on. Right. So they crash and burn. Right. Peter's got a load on him, Martha. They can't find Jesus. And they've been pushed out of every city, stoned, tried to crucify them, I'm sure. And so Peter said, I'm going fishing. I know I can fish. I'm just going to go back to fishing. They say, you may not can. They say unto him, okay, Peter, we're going to go with you. Just because a group goes with you won't make it fun or successful. They say unto him, we're also going to go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they fished all night long and did not catch nothing. Just because you know how to do something doesn't guarantee success. Are you with me? Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. What's the shore? That's land. He was not in a boat. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So now what we got, Sonia, now is Jesus is standing on the bank. In the early morning, and they didn't recognize him. Verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. I'm sure it wasn't a polite no. They'd been up all night long fishing. They hadn't caught anything. You ever asked a fisherman that loves to catch fish, takes pride in himself? Go find Glenn Plaid someday when he fishes all day and ask him, did you catch anything? Okay? He's not going to cuss you out or not, but he's going to say he's not going to be just jumping up and down, cutting cartwheels and stuff. You understand? And you go fishing, you come home, and you ain't caught nothing. I can hear Peter, based on Mr. Wayne Peter's track record around his mouth, there was probably some words there that the Holy Spirit wouldn't let John the Beloved put in with that note. Can I get an amen? All right? And this man on the bank has got the audacity to ask me, and he ain't even got a boat. I don't even know him. That means he ain't been down at the fish docks all his life. Are y'all? Amen. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and then he tells them how to fish. A man what don't have no boat. A man what they've never seen before down at the fishing docks. A man that they've never seen where you sell the fish at the fish market. So this guy tells them, says, just you cast over here on this side, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Just because you got a boat, all that really means, Martha, is you got a boat. Just because you go to college, and I've said this before, 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, there's two things that guarantees you. Number one, you get a piece of paper that tells you that you went. Number two, you get a stack of papers that last 30 years called college debt. Am I right? So I have a job guaranteed. Well, you might have had up until COVID. Are y'all? You with me? So Peter's boat, his skill, did not help him one bit. He thought it would. He said, I can always go back to fishing. He thought it would, but it didn't. Now, continue with me. They caught a whole load of fish. Between verse 6 and verse 7, this is where our lives will change if we can get it. And I'm preaching to myself. Verse 6 again, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to even draw it for the multitude of fishes. They had to drag it to land. Verse 7. Therefore, now listen carefully, read carefully. That disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, he was the youngest. John the Beloved, he was about 20 years of age. Peter was probably about 40, so I'm told by historians. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, he said, Peter. Because see, Peter's the fisherman, Deborah. He's got his eyes, Dr. B, on them net full of fish. Gary, he's just looking like, now, how do I know? Because that's what I'd be doing, like, who is this guy over yonder? We've been fishing in that stupid spot all night long. And then, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Done fished all night. Sun's finna come up, time to go. I mean, they gave it all they had. But now this fella here says fish over here. He only have a boat. I don't even know who he is. I ain't never seen him before. Notice what John says. Peter, it's the Lord. Why did John? John laid his head on his breast the night before he died. Deborah, he listened to his heartbeat. Miss Erling, he laid his head on the breast of Jesus. He heard his heartbeat. He felt his lungs, Miss Carrie, go in and out. He knew that voice. He didn't just know the sound of it. He knew the vibrations of it. He said, Peter, that's Jesus. Without hesitation, without deliberation, this is what I have to get myself. I'm here. Don't know where you're at, but the seasons change. Without hesitation, now, right now, N-O-W, now is now. I don't care when it is, now is now. Now is not yesterday, now is not tomorrow, now is not a year from now, now is now. And when God gives you a word and puts it into your spirit, it's now. Now when Simon Peter heard, he trusted John because he knew John knew him. There are some people you can trust. There's some you can't. There's more you can't than that you can. But he knew John knew him. You know why? Because John went to the cross with him. John was the only one. There's this movie about firemen, and all the fire guys, the floor fell through, and they caught this guy, and a bunch of them was holding him to try to keep him falling. I don't remember the name of the movie, who was in it or whatever, but he said, just turn me loose, guys. Just let me go. And the chief person, he said, if you go, we go. John said, if you die, I'll just die right here with you, Jesus. They tried to kill John. He's the only apostle that died of natural causes. They tried to kill him forever, boiled him in oil and everything else. They did kill him. Now, Peter heard this, and without deliberation, Miss Earlene, instantly, he did something he had never done that changed his life forever. It pushed him into the next season of his life and carried him until he went to his grave. When he heard that it was the Lord Jesus, he put his fisher coat on him, for he was naked. He wasn't like naked without full clothes, but he had taken his shirt off. You know how you get hot, guys get out and working. And so if you look that up, he stuck his shirt on, his jacket on, and he cast himself. He didn't even, he left his boat for real. Mr. Wayne, he didn't take it to the dock and put it up in case he needed it tomorrow. He left the boat. He also left the fish. He also left the other boys. Everybody's got to make their own decision at some point in life. Peter had to realize, there's where I got to get, because this out here is killing me. And so Peter jumped into the water. He swam to the feet of Jesus, and he finally left his boat. Listen carefully. I speak with great authority on this subject, personally. Just because you can carry it. Just because you can carry it a couple years. Miscarry just because you can carry it 10 years, 20, maybe 30, maybe 40. Mark don't mean you can carry it the distance.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because you got to go the distance.
That's right.
Our seasons are changing, and we're going to have to offload some stuff. Because I'm Miss Carrie's been having to wait on me, bring my food to me, take me to the doctor. Nobody's ever waited on me. My mama didn't teach me to be waited on. So I'm at the end, Deb. I'm right here where Peter's at. And all I got is Jesus. Go to verse 8, John. But Peter finds out he's enough, and the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was 200 cubits dragging the net of fish. Peter never even looked. He was a fisherman. That'd be like somebody winning a Super Bowl and just throw the ring. Just forget, I don't care about the ring. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not promoting the NFL, so don't take it from that. That just kind of unfortunately come out as a really bad analogy. But nevertheless, he didn't even look at the boat. He didn't look at the fish. He didn't look at his friends. He kept his eyes on Jesus. Verse number 9. As soon as they were come to land, look, these were not the fish they caught. Read it carefully. Mark, he already... If you're going to survive, you're going to have to survive off of Jesus' fish, not your fish. Are y'all with me? Because when he got there, Jesus already said, here, Peter, you ain't really got to do all that. It's going to be done by someone, but that's their calling and their job. I got something else for you to do. Pentecost is coming in less than 50 days. It's coming, whether you're ready or not, and you're the guest speaker. I know that you denied me 3 times. I know you cussed all them people out. I know you cut the preacher's ear off. I know you did all that. But Pentecost still coming. It's a Jewish holy day. It's coming. They're not going to bump it out for you. They're not going to, you know, it's coming, and you're the guest speaker. Ready or not, it's coming. I'd strongly suggest you to get ready. I'm to a point I can't help myself anymore. So, but he's all I really need. He's all I needed on day one. But unfortunately, we carry things much too heavy for us because we can. And that's not how it ought to be. Jesus is the Lord. The seasons change. Leave your boat in the water. Leave your fish in the water. Leave your friends in the water. They'll have to do whatever they're going to do. Jesus has got everything you need right there in verse number 9. So for the first time in Peter's life, he let his boat go. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me to just let it go. It's drifted away. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. But deliver my mind. Heal my body. Because there's a new day coming. It's on your purpose for me. It's on your purpose and schedule for me and Miss Carrie, my wife. We are scheduled in the sovereign counsels of God to do things for you. So we can't carry all this. We have things to do. And so heal our bodies. And you, like David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you order our steps. Me and Miss Carrie's steps, my family's steps, my church family's steps, and those outside of this building that listen around the world to our videos, and especially Pastor Josh, and the churches in India and the orphanages. Lord, help us to point people to Jesus on a daily basis. We love you, everyone standing to their feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just let the seasons change. There's been a great upheaval in the world because of this year, 2020, and COVID, and all kind of things. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd just help us to embrace what our part is. Help us to let go of whatever we need to let go of. You lead the way. Because as they sang a while ago, goodness, goodness, God's a good God. I thought about Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So thank you, Lord, for the presence of your goodness and your mercy. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen.